This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information brought to you in partnership between the New York State Turfgrass Association and Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program. I'm Frank Rossi. I'm the Extension Turfgrass Specialist here at Cornell University, and the following is the podcast for the week of July 13th, 2015. This week's graphical representation of rainfall from NOAA indicates we are at record rainfall amounts for the month of June. Most areas were in the top 10% wettest months of June on record, a stark contrast to the beginning of the season that was historically dry. Clearly, many in the Northeast are at saturation, but there are dramatic differences across the region. Several areas are at or even slightly below normal precipitation for the month and the season, indicating that the places that received regular rainfall received large amounts of well above normal, like areas of central New York and southern New Jersey that are 6 inches ahead of normal for the season. This creates a challenge for broad recommendations with the wide disparity in rainfall amounts. If you have adequate moisture, then simply keeping pace with mowing and weed growth present the greatest challenges. Well-timed insecticide use based on history and scouting remain critical for all at this time. The cool weather is keeping many serious diseases at bay in areas where moisture is not excessive. However, where moisture is excessive, disease pressure is very high. If temps rise, especially evening temps as we head into the next few weeks, then be prepared for major fungal disease pressure. Water management at this time of year should dominate your thinking on high-value turf. Precise use of irrigation based on ET, soil moisture, playability, and ability to apply water accurately will determine your success. Areas in the region with excess moisture, identify important drainage issues and plan for installation, and keep irrigation heads trimmed since you may need them at some point. A brief weather update, another cooler than normal week at 0 to 2 degrees below normal to the north and 0 to 2 degrees above normal to the south. Slight heat stress continues along the I-95 corridor as evening lows remain above normal. We remain 3 to 7 days ahead of normal and on par with last year. Soils are consistently in the upper to low to mid-70s north to as much as mid-80s to the south. Widespread 1-inch rainfall events, except for drier areas of New Jersey, southern Connecticut, and eastern Long Island, at less than half an inch, and some locally heavy 1 to 2 plus inches. Events in Pennsylvania, D.C., Cape Cod, and northern New York. ET was max at 1 to 1.25 inches, and most indications are that drought conditions have subsided. Short and very short topsoil reports are well within normal. However, there is much local variation. And the forecast for the coming week. Another showerier period is expected with the week starting out wet and cool. Warming close to normal will occur midweek. Expect some warm evenings, but not steamy. Some locally heavy events expected along the Pennsylvania-New York border. And the 8 to 14 day outlook indicates we are staying in a normal temp and showery period, cool and wet. And you can follow all our weather information and disease prediction models, growing degree days, weed expectations at our forecast website, Weather for the Turfgrass Professional. Regional clips begins with a note from Pat Vittem at the University of Massachusetts. This would be an excellent time to scout for chinch bug activity. You can use an insect vacuum, which is a leaf blower that sucks air with a small collecting bag. Jerry Giordano reports that the return of frequent rains to Westchester has put weed growth into high gear as crabgrass takes over thin areas and we can notice pre-emergent failure. Also from Westchester, a commercial site visit revealed post-construction turf failure beginning to show up on soil that was severely compacted at the 2-inch depth. And finally, from Jason Lanier, also from the University of Massachusetts, despite the utility of turf in mitigating runoff and erosion, it is useful to recognize that turf might not be the most effective and appropriate ground cover. A note on best management practices for stormwater management. The golf course superintendents of New York State, under the leadership of Ken Benoit, Bob Nielsen, and Blake Halderman, coordinate an effort to codify the golf, turf, and landscape principles and practices that aspire to the highest level of water quality protection. The New York State Golf Turf BMP's website is available at nysgolfbmp.cals.cornell.edu, outlines the best practices for water quality protection on golf courses. For those receiving large amounts of rainfall very rapidly, you are getting a glimpse of what climate change poses for us in the future. That is, receiving large amounts of rainfall very rapidly. You are getting a glimpse of what that is, same amount of precipitation in less frequent, more intense storms. Urban and suburban infrastructure is increasingly unable to handle large volumes of runoff from the developed land and paved surfaces. The role of golf courses in society with growing stormwater management needs cannot be overstated. The golf course landscape's ability to detain and retain stormwater provides measurable economic value to your land, assists with community needs, and makes available additional water resources naturally biofiltered on a course implementing BMPs. And finally, our questions for the week. Start with, first of all, an update from the Rutgers Turfgrass Diagnostic Lab with Diagnostic Director Rich Buckley. Right along with stormy skies, the Plant Diagnostic Laboratory is firing up golf turf samples. We've seen it all lately: anthracnose, summer patch, slime molds, take all, pythium root diseases, annual bluegrass weevil, black turfgrass attenuous, and lots of wear and tear. We recently had a sample of a mixed bent poa putting green turf with damage to both the annual bluegrass and the bentgrass. The poa was yellowing, but the bent was toasted too. The disease workup was negative, but the submitter also sent a container filled with annual bluegrass weevil adults that explained the cause of the yellowing poa. We also found chewed plants. So what happened to the bentgrass? Fortunately, Sabrina spilled out the container of ABW adults, and lo and behold, there were a bunch of black turfgrass attenuous adults mixed in. I suspect that BTA populations are inadvertently controlled on most golf courses during our annual springtime ABW insecticide bombardment. At the very least, black turfgrass attenuous are considered a low-priority pest compared to the ABW and are often ignored. In fact, for the amount of insecticide going out on this golf course, the ABW were pretty chipper themselves. I hope you guys are listening to Dr. Albert Kopenhofer's concerning ABW insecticide-resistant management. Call the lab for resistant screening, because there are plenty of product going out on this golf course and some seemingly happy insects. Among the ABW injured samples, we are seeing a little summer patch too. And our final question, we are coming into ideal timing for grub control with adults abound. Where are we at and what should we be considering? Professor Kyle Wicking, soil insect ecologist in the Cornell University Turfgrass Program, reports Japanese beetles are active upstate with high populations of European chafer and oriental beetle that have been active for 2 to 3 weeks now. Practically speaking, a turf manager would be fine putting out a Merit, a Celeprin, or Ference application now for grub control. In areas that they intend to treat, they should get on it. In all other areas, or if they cannot use pesticides, for example, school grounds, they should wait until the third week of August and sample for grubs. At that time, if they find high populations, they can make an application of nematodes or request an emergency application for schools and daycares. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, brought to you in partnership between Cornell University's Turfgrass Science Program and the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Extension Turf Specialist here at Cornell University's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences in the School of Integrative Plant Science. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.